A Boundless Reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and good Monday morning. A weekend of excitement that continued on into the night. Maryland and Colorado State right there at the end. For sure, you looked and thought possibly that Colorado State had a very good chance. They made that three-point shot. It was like seconds left, and I was just like, well, that may be ball game. And then, of course, Maryland comes down and shoots a jump shot layup, I guess. And I would also say a travel, but that's just my thought process on that. And hits the game-winning shot as the buzzer goes off. I think the final score was like 72-71. Yeah, you would maybe even imagine that it's kind of hard to go to sleep after that excitement, but I sure did. I slept very well last night. But yeah, this weekend was good. Worked all day Saturday, and then, of course, went to church Sunday. Got to worship with everyone. Had a good crowd there, and, you know, we've been in First Peter, and so just kind of going through, as I've referenced before, Jerry Bridges, the pursuit of holiness and what that means for us as believers. And so I think that you know, there's always a sense in how we look at our life, and then of course what that means for us. That basically we, you know, honor the Lord with our life, but then in especially that we look out as far as our interactions with others. And there's a passage in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, that dug deep within me. It says, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the emperor. And of course, there Peter's speaking to authorities and how we should interact with them, and of course our interactions with others as well. So, yeah, it was a good day at church and time. We drove with the family, Reagan and I and the kids, and went down and to get some ice cream in Fort Mill. There's a little place down there. And stopped at Lake Wiley on the way back. And the kids chunked some rocks in the lake, you know. Kind of, you say, that's a location where you can throw rocks, I suppose, because it's a vast expanse of no glass, right, is nearby. So throw all the rocks you want to because they're going to sink to the bottom. But yeah, I had a good day. Had the weather, of course, it was beautiful out this weekend, and just enjoyed time that we got to have with one another. And shout out to Mr. Ross Bradley. Yesterday was his birthday, a good friend of mine. I won't disclose his age. He's getting older, though, in his wisdom and his age. So, love you, brother. Yeah, so here we are, a new week, and Monday we've got some things on the books. Going to be diving into, as far as work goes, be in Charlotte today, actually. Hopefully the rain won't catch us, but we may have to bob and weave a little bit on that one. But we'll get through it, and yeah, things are picking up. Had some unexpected deaths, I guess. Well, we say unexpected. God knows our time, and it's something that we all will face. Some people that I knew passed away this last week, and prayers for those families as they go through those times that they're dealing with. So we'll be moving back into 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and just kind of walking through some of the descriptions that Paul is speaking to. In this particular passage, he's basically addressing meat that's been offered to idols and whether or not to eat that meat. And there are some that, you know, may not do so, and there are some that may. And then, of course, just the way in which the response of how that's handled. And, of course, going back to what I initially said, our interaction with others on how we may perceive something and then they see it in a different way, maybe because they don't fully understand, or maybe there is just a different conviction there. So, yeah, again, when we're dealing with people, there's a lot of diversity, you know, in the midst of relationships, and of course how things are established and how we, again, function. But I think to kind of start us off in the right direction, we're just going to break in a couple verses here. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And the title of this chapter is Take Care with Your Liberty. Now concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. If anyone supposes that he knows anything, he has not yet known as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by him. And I like kind of what one of the commentaries in the study Bible references this passage here in 1 Corinthians. So it says this: apparently, some of the Corinthians used the doctrine of monotheism as an argument supporting their practice if there is only one God, who teaches us to mock idols in Isaiah 46, 6 and 7. Why should we worry about eating food offered to them? Paul acknowledges this truth and affirms it, but goes on to point out an error in the Corinthians' use of this doctrine. So, you know, you would dare say that there are things in which we describe as having a knowledge of, and here in the context of what Paul is speaking to, is that there are those who basically come to this understanding that, yeah, idols, what are idols? There's only one God, so therefore what does it matter? But then there are others who may not possess that knowledge. And so we have to take care of how we, of course, treat those that we are around. So it's more so the fact of love, and basically what kind of stems from our, of course, relationship with that brother or sister. And so we have to treat it carefully. And that's the bigger issue is that the love of God, I would compare it as to this. The love of God quenches or devours, not quenches, but devours the knowledge of man. The love of God devours the love of man. So last night we were watching that show again, The Americas, I think, and it was talking about volcanoes. You know, I would dare say that the love of God is as though the lava that consumes all, because that's what's important, and his love towards us, and then basically what that and how that interacts and then changes our being. It changes our attitude. And Paul is pointing out that there is an attitude of arrogance and pride in the midst of these people who say, you know, what does it matter? You know, there is but one God, but, you know, we're just going to have some barbecue. So it's not a big deal. I don't understand why you're so easily offended by that. But it's the consideration for us to think about the other person. Now, there are some who would argue, you know, well, I have my freedom in Christ, and therefore I should be able to do as what I please or however it is that I want to act. And yeah, there is freedom, but it's the freedom described in what God has set you free from, and that you function in the way of His direction for your life and not something that you think that you know or understand. You know, ultimately, we have to be drawn back to the love of God and His direction and instruction that basically comes before us and makes us aware again of caring for those around us and not being basically somewhat narcissistic or selfish. And that's what's happening here in this passage, is that basically it's no different than what occurs in any other relationship with people around us, especially in the church. There are many occasions where we find the point of where people give into a tendency to say that because I think this, then what does it matter? Or maybe it's an arrival of their knowledge, that they've arrived to some greater understanding and not being considerate towards their brother or sister in Christ. So there is Paul's warning here about being arrogant and prideful. And I think that throughout Corinthians, we've seen that. And here in this passage, it's referencing meat that's been lifted or basically offered to idols. And so, you know, there are those who think we can have it, and there are those who think that, you know, maybe not. So again, now concerning things sacrificed as idols, we know that we all have knowledge, and knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. You know, love is patient. Paul goes on to build in chapter 13 what love is. And so, we have to come back to this volcano eruption of lava. The floor is lava that just disseminates the whole attitude of knowledge, because especially when we're talking about relationships with our brothers and sisters, we have to go in that direction, even though if we maybe feel that we are right or justified in our knowledge, ultimately it's not about us. And I know that's sometimes a hard place to get to when we live in this Western culture that's so dominant by basically making us aware of what it is that you basically need or what you should have. And I think we miss it a lot of times. So it's important for us to consider that God has poured this wisdom from above through His word for us to share in. So then that way we don't become something that's a negative influence in someone's life, but instead is what Paul references is edification of others, building each other up. That's what love is. Knowledge, or trying to prove a point of being right and not wrong, goes in a different direction. You know, we're not in a courtroom, if you will. Nobody's on trial. The trial's been defeated, and judgment is only from God. So therefore, show the love towards each other. Don't be consumed in the knowledge of what you think and how that basically is reflected in, again, your relationship with others. Be more consumed with the love of God that overflows in your interactions with those around you. And I think that's the importance of, you know, unity, especially in the church. It has to be that lava. I also think there's another commentary here that builds upon this and basically kind of leads us into the right framework that we should function as when we talk about our interactions with those who we serve with and God has placed within our life. So this is what it says. It says, but why does Paul begin his response to the matter of idol meat in this way? Probably because he does basically agree with the theological premise that he will next take up, although he will have his own unique way of qualifying these as well. But he knows that what they are doing with their knowledge is dead wrong. And this is the more serious problem. So he begins by qualifying their understanding of Gnosis itself, Gnosticism. Christian behavior is not predicated on the way of knowledge, which can lead to pride and destroy others, but on the way of love, which is in fact the true way of knowledge. All this will be spelled out in a greater detail in the explanation that follows, and especially again in chapter 13. So, you know, I think you would come to some place to where just because there's much depth in something about knowing and being even somewhat knowledgeable, that's not the stacking order in which we operate. We must love God and love others, and how that basically operates within our realm of understanding. It's an outworking process, and we'll go through this more as we kind of work through the chapter. But I think that, you know, it's the consideration of our others, of our brother or sister in Christ, and not the consideration of what we think is right. You know, it's the consideration of that love for our brother or sister, a sincere devotion. You know, a lot of times we'll kind of show this way or kind of direct this process of wisdom with our children. You know, our children, when they're young, they don't really comprehend and know fully what they're doing. Of course, we as parents, we've got more knowledge and understanding than they do, but we still love them, even in spite of their ignorance sometimes. Not to say that that's always the thing that runs along, but I would say as raising children, sometimes that is a representation of how it is that we should display that love, as much as that we display grace to our kids in the midst of their shortcomings. And not to say that these people who have a different viewpoint have a shortcoming or a misunderstanding. It's just, again, a way in which we look at the fact that Paul is clarifying that just because you know and you are trying to make a point of, hey, eating this meat that's been offered to idols is okay, it may not be okay with someone else. And if you operate under the context of how God desires for you to show that grace, that love, and that understanding towards those people around you, specifically, again, your brother or sister in Christ, then that takes precedence. That's what it's about. It's that, and that's that unifying process of building each other up instead of tearing each other down. Because I think that's what occurs when we try to prove points or make something to where we, you know, I'm going to down this hill, if you will. So humility, long-suffering, love. God is love, and we know that he's displayed that to us through his character, through his actions, and the fact that Christ came and lived and dwelt among us and was crucified and on the third day rose again and defeated death so that we could have relationship, that at the point of where we were enemies with God, that he loved us in this way. So the Bible clearly points us towards this gospel message, towards our life. And even though in the times that we may consider or think that we know it all, when we really don't know much at all. So let us continue to labor in love with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let us be mindful that even though we may know and understand something, that doesn't take over the dominance of God's love in our life that we should show to others. A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and I look forward to speaking with you again soon.